This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. 3-hour banger lined up today, including Paul Charchian on fire last week. Divisional round. We'll get his best bets for player props coming up in 30 minutes. And we're also going to get into mention markets that you can bet, take advantage of, study this stuff in prediction markets, like what's going to be said on the broadcast in these two games. Brad Powers, teams he's looking at right now already for next year in college football. That comes up in an hour. Lou Finocchiaro, best bets in the UFC in 90 minutes. We also have Andy Gresh on the program and Steve Wiss today as well. So I'm still waiting on some props to pop at a lot of these books. One would be for more books to offer the Denver running back props. However, we do know this about Jarrett Stidham and Sean Payton, his head coach, who came out this week and said, yeah, man, he's going to let it rip. That's who he is. They're going to throw the football, right? And Bill 80 today in the VSiN Daily email sent to your inbox every single day when you wake up, he compared the Opta AI stats to the present numbers available, like a DK and some other books as well. I would say this. Do we take Payton as a man of his word? Okay.
Yep.
So if that's the case, I would say that at least three of the props for Stidham are too low right now.
Yeah.
Based on, and I'll run this down for you in a second, based on what Bo Nix did this year, throwing the football.
There are some good props out at Caesars, too, if you think they're going to sling it and he can get Sutton and these guys involved early. Like Sutton, 10 yards each quarter is 10-1, and 20 yards each quarter is 60-1. So if he comes out, and I got all the faith in the world in him, and you know, the guy who knows the system, they're going to let it rip. I think there's some interesting props here, and even 50 yards each quarter is 11-1, and 100 yards each half, that absolutely is doable, is 3-1.
Well,
100 yards a half. So you might throw something at me, but the guy was awesome in the preseason. I love the Jordan Palmer audio we played yesterday. We'll hear from Hoyer coming up, who was on with the Guru. You know, the more you hear talk these guys about the coaching and being a veteran and knowing the offense, the more it makes sense that he can go out there, not embarrass himself, and actually play well. And finally, you're taking on May, who's going on the road for the first time in the playoffs. I'm starting to see the Denver case here.
And I also think it's going to be correlated to where Stidham is going to be throwing the football, and then I want everything under with the Denver running backs. Tie that in with how New England, when they're healthy on defense, they have been elite at slowing down the opposing team ground game. So, like, I want everything Harvey under running the football. Is Dobbins going to play? How much? We'll see. He's listed like in zero books as we speak right now for the game, but we'll get that posted, you know, when we have more information on the likelihood of actually him giving it a shot here. But so if you, again, take what Payton said this week, the fact that it's going to be a difficult time for this team to, in theory, run the football against New England, and how Sean Payton, by the way, is the same guy who went onside after halftime when he was with the Saints in the Super Bowl against the Colts. So do you think that he has the balls of a burglar? The answer is yes. Bo Nix led the league in passing attempts this year. So his attempts, Stidham, 32 and a half. I'll just tie in the quarterback that he had all year. Bo Nix went over 32 and a half attempts 12 times this year. That's the number for Jarrett Stidham. Nix went over 19 and a half completions 19 times.
Good stats. Both guys to complete 25 passes is 28-1. What if we're completely wrong about this and it is a high scoring game and the guy's fantastic?
28-1. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive on that. But
Great stuff up now about these props and what Stidham can do. And everyone has so much confidence in him, not to mention what Chad Andrus told us Tuesday, that this guy just is stubborn and refuses to run the football. And likes to throw it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Now, Opta AI, they're under on Stidham's passing yards. They have him going for like 190. That would be a winner by like 7 or 8 yards. Nix did go over 197 and a half yards again 11 times this year. And you can pay juice on the touchdown props as well. So for Stidham to throw one touchdown pass, that's actually available. I Again, juice going to be different books that you look at. Knicks threw a touchdown pass in 15 games this year. He had two or more, seven different games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the passing attempts are going to be there, which also, by the way, you got to pay $2 on him to throw an INT.
Oh, it's that high?
It's that high, is going to scare a lot of people off. I'm fairly confident in saying that Stidham's going to throw an INT. I just have to decide whether or not I want to lay the $2.
Well, maybe they don't even have success running the ball early, and Peyton gets out of that too, based on how well the New England run defense has been in the playoffs. But the only concern, maybe there isn't a big drop-off, and certainly it's an overreaction with the line and the biggest home dog in a title game since 1968. But maybe the only concern is he can't move, and he can't get out of the pocket and avoid sacks like Knicks is able to do. And there was a good breakdown on that earlier today that you sent over. But this was good. So we played the Jordan Palmer yesterday, and he talked about coaching and how important it is and the trust that they have in Stidham. Here's Hoyer going back to coaching again with Peyton and McDaniels earlier today with Guru.
I've known Jarrett since he was a rookie. He got drafted in New England, and we spent a lot of time together there. And then he left and went to Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels. So I would say the one thing that Jarrett has going for him is he's learned football at the NFL level from two of the greatest offensive minds that have ever coached this sport, in Josh McDaniels and Sean Payton. And so he hasn't played in a while. That's a disadvantage, but he understands the offense. You know, I talk to him regularly, and from the get-go, you could see that he has the mental bandwidth to be able to hand these NFL offenses. And this is not, you know, a West Coast system where the offensive line handles everything. Like from a young part of his career, Jarrett had to be forced with making Mike points and setting up protections and getting into the right plays. And that's what I think Sean Payton will get him into this weekend against the Patriots. And so I think, you know, the one thing that's tough is he's going to play his first real football, as you mentioned, in almost 2 years, on the most important game of the season. And the level of play in the playoffs, you know, the margin of error becomes smaller and smaller. And so that's the thing, is can he go from not seeing live bullets for almost 2 years to now playing in the most important game? And how quickly can he get out there and get acclimated to that speed?
That's a great point at the end. And that's the biggest thing he has to overcome.
Right.
It's only the seventh time that a guy's making his first start in the playoffs. The previous six went 1-5. And it's the first time ever a quarterback's going to throw his first pass of the season in a playoff game. So he has one career win, and he hasn't completed a pass in 3 years.
Well, that last part was spot on. He was also, like, the praise was pretty high there for a while during that soundbite. And I was going to say, it's officially getting there to me where I haven't heard one person say it's going to be a disaster for Stidham. It's all making the case and why this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I need one person to come out and say, hold on a second here. This is the worst spot ever for a guy like this. It's not going to go well. And throw in some Peyton is overrated as a coach. I don't care, whatever. And this is why the Patriots are going to coast to a victory. Like, I need to hear that from at least one person. Do we not? It's too common at this point. It's Thursday. My God, Paul. We only have a couple of days before the game yet, and it's all been positive towards this guy.
Yeah, I was with people, though, when the line opened and when it got to six. I mean, Bo Nix is worth 7 points.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. So now that it comes down, and now you're making the case where bulletin board material, you could see the case, the defense plays well, May has a couple turnovers, and they can win a low-scoring game. And not to mention the Evan Abrams angle. Home dogs going back, getting 4 points or more, 9-0 ATS, and he already got one with a winner with Carolina against the Rams.
Oh, maybe the writing is on the wall with Stidham's props. Again, here, right out of the horse's mouth, here's his head coach, Sean Payton, talking about him.
He's going to rip it, you know? And that'll be our approach. I mean, hey, he's got this calm demeanor that I think suits him well. He's played in big games, college, and, you know, I said this at the start of the season. I felt like our two was inside the best 32. And I think everyone feels that way, but that's why that sign was important.
Okay, so Stidham's played in big games? If he has, college, and that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also, does everybody agree that they have two of the best 32 quarterbacks in football?
Yeah.
We do?
I would think so, yeah.
They do, okay.
There's some terrible quarterbacks that we're starting. But it's what Palmer said yesterday, too, about that they believe in him so much. Look at the contract they gave him, knowing that he probably wasn't going to play, but the emergency just in case. And there he is in the biggest game of the season now that they need him.
Well, I mean, in terms of our wallets, Paulie, I'm there. I believe Peyton that they're going to throw the football a lot.
Yep.
So what he's always done basically is a head coach.
Yep.
So my plan was already to fade Harvey. Like, I don't think Harvey's going to be running the ball against the Patriots at all.
Fair.
And so I think that's going to tie into Stidham letting it rip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got to be the approach, in my opinion.
The other angle is, can Vrabel pull this off? Only four coaches have won a Super Bowl in their first season with the team. And if he can do this, to go from the 4-13 to win the Super Bowl and do it with May, that'd be incredible if he's able to do this on the flip side. And even just to get there as well.
I will point out that the Opta AI projections at vsin.com/NFL props, they're hot and heavy on the other three quarterbacks to go over their passing yards prop with a star running back. Can I call him a star? I think so. After last week, Kenneth Walker, they are projecting him to go for 30 yards below his rushing prop number. DK right now in other books has 85.5 on Kenneth Walker's rushing yards prop. Opta AI projects 50, a little bit less than 54. He's the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
Charbonnet's out. Don, see ya.
Uh-huh.
If he runs for 54 yards in the game, I think I kind of like the Rams a lot.
I think he goes over. Yeah, I think he has a big game. Plus, there's some good props on him, too, with like 5 yards a quarter, 25 yards a half.
Yeah.
I mean, that they figure he's going to hit that, and those are some plus prices, too, that I like.
Win some, lose some next. It's a long season in every sport. The best of the best, even going to Funks. No exception with this team again last night.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
The Ducks beat Colorado on the road, plus 275. Avalanche have now lost three of the last four at home, and the goal in the first 10 has cooled off as well. Vancouver, plus 150. They had lost 11 in a row. Declare for the Islanders, first goal, plus 850. Some incredible props cashed in that game. Knicks, Nets under, 226 down to 220. Rocking chair. The Nets scored 66 points. Incredible. And the Knicks have backups in there. And I think the Nets scored 10 points in a quarter. Oh, that was embarrassing.
All those angles that we talked about yesterday got there no problem with the Knicks. Losers of four straight, double-digit favorites in the next game. They had owned the Nets going back, 112 straight. And they won by 54 there.
28 points in the second half of the Nets. Pistons, Pelicans under. 237 down to 233. Remember, Detroit number two in defense. Kings, Raptors over 226. Up to 222 up to 226. Missed one there. Toronto's been great. Sacramento's had a rough season. Monster upsets in college hoops. LaSalle plus 450. Citadel 5-1. Cleveland State plus 950. IU Indy did it. They were 15-point dogs and won by double digits and scored 103 points. We got to keep an eye on them again, as three of their last four have been track meets. Plus 950 there. South Dakota, plus 240. Subscribe, be part of the team, vsin.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in. We'll put you on. Chipotle has added Kurt Cignetti's I Win Bowl to the menu. Chicken, brown rice, black beans, and a side of guac. He orders from Chipotle every day from lunch. That's a win-win.
Well,
in an easy thing to do.
They have to do that as long as he's that loyal of a client. And by the way, I don't know if this is the case or not, but there is now a law firm here in Las Vegas billboards up all over town. But I don't recall seeing this until Tuesday, day after the national title. Now it says the name of the law firm and it says "We Win." I don't recall, and I've seen multiple billboards, same law firm, and I don't recall ever seeing that before they won the national title. I could be wrong on that, but
okay.
If they're doing it, that's good for them.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Nevertheless, this is awesome. A border collie herds sheep in an expert fashion. Jumps off the bike, the dirt bike, sprinting, mad dash, runs down hundreds of sheep, and then gets them in line as they all follow. I can't believe one dog's able to pull this off. And the ending's fantastic as he gets them to come right back in through the gate and herd them in a perfect way. And here they come, a big collection. Eventually getting there. Come on. Come on, guys. Taking a while. But the payoff is so good at the end where finally the dog is sprinting all the way back, jumps right back up on the bike, on the four-wheeler, and says, "Mission accomplished, job done, no problem." And hey, wagging his tail out. And his tongue's out and his tail. Great time. Excellent. Lose some. Texas, Kentucky under 159 down to 151. Kentucky wins again. One lose some. This was from our crew at Circa in Kentucky. There's a buffet at the Mint, which I didn't know was phenomenal. But they're going to have breakfast. And this guy's walking around in front of them the whole time. I can't imagine people. He's walking around barefoot the whole time and people are trying to eat. And there's the picture to prove it. As he went and got his coffee first. Walking around a casino with nothing on. With the feet. I can't believe it. And I'm glad they put them on Front Street.
It happens everywhere now.
Incredible. Yeah. And one bad beat sent in from a viewer. Seattle, Loyola Marymount, second half under. In the final minute, repeatedly, for whatever reason, Seattle up 16 was fouling and did it three times and put the game over by
they
the
were
second
winning.
Half over. Yes. And put it over. Now, you see a lot of that in championship week. In the madness when a team's down 12-13 with a minute to left, they'll keep fouling. But for the team that's up 16 to keep doing it, incredible. Before the line moves, sharp play's already there. January's in about volume. It's about precision. Limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by advanced AI and connected to proven insider sources, they're locked in on the NFL playoffs. They help identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Add it since 2011. With Follow the Money since day one, the Mr. Poison tweets, look for those Sunday, backed it up with documented results, sharpplays.com, trusted by pros and monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason, visit sharpplays.com.
I'll point this out as well with another INT prop for this Sunday. You can find Matthew Stafford on the yes to throw an INT, minus 112, minus 113 range if you shop around hard enough. So he projects for 1.2 INTs at VSiN.com. When you look at his turnover-worthy plays and percentage, since the Detroit game, in week 15, turnover-worthy plays by Stafford by week, 3, 1, 3, 2, 3, and 3. That's four different games with three turnover-worthy plays. He hadn't played a game with three all year before that week. His turnover-worthy percentage, 3.3 on the season, 6.8% against Detroit, 6.8% against Atlanta, 4.5% against Arizona, and 6.4% against Carolina and Chicago, both in those two games. He had zero turnover-worthy plays against Seattle in their first game. He's trending in the wrong direction. He's been a little reckless here. And also, people keep speculating that the guy's not right, not healthy.
I was going to say that. That's where I was going. Maybe the finger's still giving him problems.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's something we don't know about. Now, McVay gave Allen all the credit in the world and said to his face, hey, great job, you kicked our ass. But the Bears' defense, they were awesome in that performance against the Rams. So that maybe there is something to it that he's banged up, and we certainly know Adams is playing compromised too. But this is not for nothing. Not only are you going to have to go into Seattle, who's won 11 in a row at home in the playoffs, you're going to have to go back-to-back-to-back on the road to do it, which has rarely happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the track record's awful. You're 24% going back to win three of straight on the road in the playoffs, what they're trying to pull off.
Sure. On the flip side, Sammy D is about $1.50 to throw an INT in this game. He had four turnover-worthy plays in L.A. in Week 11, and they all resulted in an INT most of the season. He has not had more than two in another game the entire season. So does, like, the game plan here, I think, and this is where I think it could be, you know, it's got to be correlated again, is that he's not throwing the ball enough to really go out there and pass, put up like four INTs in this game. It comes down to the Seahawks running the ball, hence Kenneth Walker, no Zach Charbonnet. And also, I know they're saying all the right things about the oblique and he's going to be perfectly fine come Sunday. I think it's got to be a Walker game. I think it's like an under on JSN, and I think it's under Sam Darnold props, which could be plus money on an INT. Like, I don't want him throwing the ball here 30 times in this game.
Yep. No doubt. Credible number from Evan Abrams. A team that plays indoors, playing outdoors in the title game. 0-15 straight up. 2-13 ATS. That goes back 30, 40 years, too. That is strong.
I have been paying attention to the money line number on the Seahawks all week long. It was getting up there to about $1.60. It touched in some spots. The Westgate has typically been the lowest at $1.40.
$600,000 bet on the Rams today at MGM.
On the Rams plus points.
Plus 2.5, yeah.
Plus 2.5. So earlier today at FanDuel, the Seahawks got down to -138, back to 145. I'm curious in that because holding a couple of tickets on Rams futures that pay a lot of money, like I don't know what I'm going to do yet in terms of an overall hedge. And I know for others who are holding the Rams, are going to reach out in the next couple of days to find out what the game plan is. I think there's an angle here where you do nothing but monitor the entire week. And if the right price pops up, maybe you hop in on Seattle.
Well, you got to, yeah.
But well, you don't have to. You can. I'm thinking about letting it ride.
Oh.
But there's also this. You can wait until what happens in the AFC title game first on Sunday. Because if the Broncos win that game, I'd rather bet the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl than to just beat the Rams that day. And like, you could get plus money then in the Super Bowl
market. That's a good angle with the late game. There also could be a major injury again. And you could get a Denver win and maybe a big injury, and suddenly you're looking even better in how you could play that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Seattle's going to win, and I'm here for the Darnold story and the redemption tour if he's able to pull this off. Just to get there would be some story if he's able to do this. But it was such a difference in the two games with the low scoring and then what we had with the shootout in the second game on the Thursday night in 38-37.
What's the worst possible matchup right now for the Super Bowl? In terms of just overall, could be a total dud.
Oh, Stidham, Drew Lock.
Well, don't but say that. The Lock thing. It's just, it would be Seattle and Denver no matter what.
Yeah, right? Well, the sexy games, New England. Yeah, Frank B. had a good quote. You want, out from a prop standpoint in a game, how can you slow down the two MVP candidates as opposed to who can move it against these two defenses? Yeah. That's much better.
Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian next. He was on fire last week in the divisional round. He is attacking several running backs this weekend. Find out who and how next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, title game Sunday, a couple of days away now. AFC, NFC, the winners obviously meet in the Super Bowl, and more on that right now as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian on the program. He's going to hang tight here for two full segments. We'll do the games first with rushing props and some receiving props here, but also in the next 15 minutes, we're going to get into mention markets, which he's been tracking a little bit throughout the football season. This is going to be fascinating. Can't wait to dive into that conversation. Charge, good afternoon, buddy. Good to see you again. How are you?
Great to see you guys as well. Saw you in studio last week. I'll see you in studio next week as well, next Thursday. And looking forward to that. But we've got two games on Sunday to break down in detail. It's we're going to get nitty gritty with this stuff.
So when Payne comes out and he says, you know, Stidham's going to let it rip, I'm taking him for his word. I think that's who Payton is and what they're going to do. Yep. Which I want Stidham props to go like in a positive way. I don't think Harvey's going to run the football at all against this Patriots defense. What say you?
Agreed. You know, last Sunday we discussed in painful detail, and we're going to hit on some of it again, Patriots defensive lineman Milton Williams and how he transforms the Patriots run defense into the best run defense in the league. His number, this is a shop your prop situation. I have found RJ Harvey's rushing number to vacillate by about 7 yards. And these are seven important yards, yeah, all the way up from 48 and a half yards at Hard Rock, all the way down to about 42 yards or so. You'll want to be sure to be careful on that. Harvey under yardage looks really good because Milton Williams is so good. He's played 13 games this year. The Patriots are giving up 3.9 yards per carry in those 13 games with Milton Williams. Last week, Woody Marks ran for 1.2 yards per carry against the Patriots and Milton Williams, starting running backs. And through the entire season with the 13 games that Milton Williams played, starting running backs averaging 34 yards against the Patriots. And that includes some really good players like Bijan Robinson, Devon Achane, Ashton Jeanty, Alvin Kamara, Quinshon Judkins, all under what RJ Harvey's line is for next week. And that to me is a very big sign as an indicator here. Plus you add in J.K. Dobbins might return, and that would water down the Harvey line a lot. Jaleel McLaughlin's outrushed Harvey in consecutive games. And last week, when we talked about RJ Harvey, it was going against the 28th ranked Buffalo run defense. I thought they'd run him a bunch, and they still didn't run him, and he only got 6 carries. Now they're looking at running against the best run defense in the league. So I'm laddering down on RJ Harvey, starting at the 48 and a half, if you can find it that high, all the way down to 20 yards. Mm. And let's see just how low RJ Harvey can go in this game.
Great job. Great job last week. Always phenomenal breakdown. So then what does it mean receiving?
This side. Okay, so now I'm flipping the script. Now, I like the Harvey over on receiving yards. Weirdly, I can't find a reception number for him.
Okay.
It's 19 and a half receiving yards. Now, we played this game last week with Christian McCaffrey, where we went under McCaffrey rushes, over on the receiving. We hit that. We're doing something similar here with Harvey because the running game, I believe, will get shut down by the Patriots early. And then, out of desperation, the team's going to manufacture looks for their runners through the air to try to get something out of their running backs, and that's where RJ Harvey can be helpful here. Patriots allowed the 5th most running back receptions during the regular season and in the 2 playoff games for New England so far. Woody Marks hit the over last week, and then prior to that, the Chargers backs combined 5 catches for 50 yards against New England. So I like the Harvey over on receiving yardage. Harvey's the undisputed target leader for the Broncos, by the way. Over the last 2 months, he's averaging 21 routes per game and 4 targets per game. No other Denver running back averages more than 1 target per game. And even if J.K. Dobbins returns, it won't affect Harvey because Dobbins doesn't catch. So, you know, I'll add in this intangible as well that could help Harvey go over the 19 and a half receiving yards. It's easy to envision Jarrett Stidham frequently dumping off to his safety valve in this game. You know, Stidham's gotten no passes this year. So I could see a scenario where gets uncomfortable in the pocket, dump off stuff coming. We only need 19 and a half receiving yards for RJ Harvey to go over.
All right. Like it. One more from this game. He had a catch last week. What does Austin Hooper do? He's 8.5.
8.5 yards. And we only need the 1 catch. That's all we need. He averages 13 yards per catch. So we're just looking for 1 catch for Austin Hooper. I'm going to finish this with, I think, a very tantalizing stat for you. But in the meantime, let's note some offenses avoid that great Broncos set of cornerbacks and overall secondary by using their tight ends copiously. During the regular season, the Broncos allowed the 12th most tight end receptions, the 9th most tight end yards. Not gigantic numbers, but leading numbers. And last week, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox combined for 11 targets, 9 catches, 113 yards. In 10 different games this year, the opposition's number 2 tight end has topped Hooper's 8.5 yards 10 different times, and he averages 2 targets per game. He's never had less than 1 target in a game all year. All I need him to do is catch the 1 target or the 2 targets that he gets per game, and Austin Hooper goes over 8.5 yards.
Okay, I'm looking right now at a couple of books. Any interest at 30-1 on him to score the first touchdown of the game?
Well, he only had two touchdowns all season. I looked at that as well. It was tantalizing. There is a possible scenario. 30-1 is the right play. That's the right value. Still a long shot, but there's a little something there. Hunter Henry would be the better, you know, I'm guessing yes. Hunter Henry sitting at about plus two. I'm going to guess plus 200 plus 210
for the first. No, that's good. You're thinking anytime.
Yeah, I'm thinking anytime. Plus for first, I bet it's plus 600.
First is 8-1. So you're close there. He's in, you can find almost 2-1 on Henry anytime.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go receiving yards.
It's much
with
more
him.
Plausible.
Yeah. Henry over receiving yards, I think. Dynamite.
I looked
there,
at that. Yep. He's sitting at what I think it was about right around 50 receiving yards for Hunter Henry. Is that right?
I think 43 and a half, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mid 40s.
43 and a half. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So yep, what do you want to do in the NFC title game? You're really looking at receptions here with running backs. You have the floor. Take it away.
I am. I like Kyren Williams over 2.5 receptions and Blake Corum over half a reception. Let me give you the key stat that you need to know. Seattle allowed the most running back receptions during the regular season. It was a great Seattle defense, but this is the one thing. This is their kryptonite. They give up these running back receptions. Last week, by the way, it's 6 receptions per game. 6 is their average. I need 2.5. I got over 2.5 on Kyren Williams. I got over 0.5 on Blake Corum. So I need 3. That's it. Last week, Christian McCaffrey was on his way to a massive receiving game against Seattle until he got hurt. And even so, he still had 5 receptions. Both Williams and Corum went over in their most recent matchup between these two teams, week 16. Corum went over in the earlier matchup in week 11. So to hone in on Kyren Williams for a second, the over 2.5 receptions, he runs a very healthy 21 routes per game over the past 2 months. And I went for 2 months because that's what Blake Corum has been eating into his playing time. But Williams still getting a ton of routes. Look, 7 of the last 8 Seattle opponents have had a runner top 3 receptions. And that's all we need to get for Kyren Williams. And he's topped the 2.5 receptions in 4 of the last 5 games. So Kyren Williams over 2.5. And as for Blake Corum, here's your stat of the day. The over 1.5 receptions, 17 of 18 Seattle opponents have had a second runner get at least one reception. 17 out of 18. We call that a trend.
Wow.
Okay. I'm looking at 3 catches right now for Blake Corum at 17-1.
Really?
Wow. Wow. Well, look, it's not out of play. They give up 6 per game. If you think that could be split evenly, and Corum only runs about 1/3 of the routes that Williams does, but that's not out of play, and that's a good value right there.
Wow. I mean, if you want a letter, Kyren, 4+ is almost 3-1. 5+ is plus 625 out of him. 6+ is 12-1. Not every book's going to let you do that, though.
No, no. The safe play here is just to take the over half a reception, but I could see laddering up to 2. Maybe 3 receptions for Blake Corum. You could do Williams up to 5 or 6. Those are all plausible, very plausible numbers.
Well, I'll say the fact that Williams is 2.5 and the over is plus good 15, 16 cents. It's pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of all those bets that you just talked about, do you have a best bet of the bunch, or are they all pretty much equal?
No, the best bet is RJ Harvey, who's going to get absolutely smoked in this game. The under 48.5 rushing yards is the best, my favorite play of the day.
Okay. Do you like it as much as Mark's last week under 55.5 against the same rush defense?
Yeah, almost as much. And particularly when you add in the J.K. Dobbins X factor here that we don't know about. I don't see RJ Harvey doing much of anything here. So that's my favorite play. Last week I told you Woody Marks was my favorite play. This is, RJ Harvey's my favorite play this week.
Very good. Follow him on X. He's at Paul Charchian. He's also a Fantasy Football Hall of Famer on the Progressive Guest Line. Going to hang around for another segment, and we're going to get into mention bets that you can find using prediction markets coming up. He's been tracking this, and he has a lot of good tidbits. What will be mentioned during the broadcast? The network games are on. We'll factor into the probability. Charts with a rundown on it coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Thursday. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. We continue talking AFC-NFC title game with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian. He's on the Progressive guest line. We went over his best bets in terms of player props in the previous segment. If you missed that, you can always go back and listen on the Follow the Money podcast. Okay, let's dive into something that we've joked around a little bit about before with some offshore prices, but really never gotten into it too hardcore. You've looked at this, studied it a little bit this year, the mention markets that you can find in some of these prediction markets. And, okay, you told me something over coffee last week after the Sunday morning show. A lot of this comes down to which network the games are on for some of these mentions, yeah?
Yeah, you can figure out which networks prioritize mentioning which things. And the way these mentions work, for the people that don't know and haven't done prediction markets yet, it's whether or not the announcing crew will say a word or a phrase. And you can effectively take either side of it. So there's a word or phrase that might be like tush push. Mm-hmm. Do you want yes or do you want no? Take either side. So this is coming up. If you were to look at, say, New England and Denver, go, well, okay, are these tush push teams? Probably not. You could tush push. Maybe the Patriots could, but I don't think Stidham's going to tush push. You could go no if you want to. And so it's fascinating that way. It's a totally unregulated thing. So you're just counting on the fact that somebody is going to be, legitimate, in this case, Kalshi is going to be legitimate with what they say and how they describe the key phrase. And somebody's going to say tush push clearly. They're going to count it the right way. So it's not like it's coming from an official stat source, of course. So you got to bake a little bit of that in. And 2 weeks ago, when I'll mention this as well, and I don't know if this is true or not, but let me tell you the story. 2 weeks ago, the Chicago game was cold and there was snow all before the Chicago game. So I got in on the mention of snow and I was on the yes side of snow. And I believe Al Michaels was doing the game.
Mm-hmm.
All game long, it stopped snowing. No mention of the word snow, whole game long until the very end of the game. And then Al Michaels, teased me with something like this. Prior to the game, there was a lot of white flaky stuff on the field, but that a lot of it dissipated. And now there's none of that white stuff that you might have thought you were going to see on the field at Soldier Field. I'm like, he just worked around snow. The guy went out of his way not to say it. So, I don't know that, if the announcers are paying any attention to this and trying to work their way around it or not, but that doesn't mean that we can't have some fun with it. I think these are all, to me, just fun, silly bets to have and have a little action that's a little bit different than what you normally have. And I found some angles that I kind of like.
Thank you. He is absolutely aware of that. He was asked about the mentions at Radio Row years ago when he was on the Super Bowl and what will you say and all that. I found a couple interesting ones. Well, they mentioned Stidham and Nix went to Auburn. They both went to Auburn. I absolutely think they'll mention that. And they also, will they mention Manning and Brady? They absolutely will. The last time they met in the playoffs, Denver won in Denver, and it was Manning against Brady. So I think they'll mention that as well. No doubt. So what do you think?
If you can find it. Yeah, all the different prediction market sites have got different key phrases that they're working off of. And so, find the one that you like and see if they've got mentions for those guys. You don't get to pick which words are going to be mentioned or even wagerable. That is for you to figure, that's for the site to figure out. So I'll tell you one that interests me. Contract. So I'm looking at New England and Denver specifically, and the mentions are game specific. So New England at Denver, the word contract, will it come up? The yes play pays plus 210 for the word contract. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's the context for contract to come up? Anybody who signed a new contract this year would be in play. For Denver, it could come up with Mercedes Lewis, who's 41 years old. It could come up with sack wizard Nick Benito, who signed a new contract this year. Cortland Sutton signed a new contract. Will Lutz signed a new contract. Jarrett Stidham was a new contract. So, that could come up with any of them. For New England, Milton Williams, who we mentioned extensively last segment, new contract this year. Stephon Diggs, four-time father last season. He could come up. Mm-hmm. Carlton Davis had a huge game last week. He's a new one as well. And then Mike Vrabel got a new contract this year. So I think it could all of those guys could come up with the word contract. And then there are guys in playing potentially, there are guys whose contracts are expiring this year. If J.K. Dobbins comes up, they could mention him as somebody whose contract is expiring. Linebacker Alex Singleton, who had the testicular cancer earlier this year, his contract is expiring. Austin Hooper, we mentioned earlier, his contract's expiring. So there's a bunch of hooks in this game, New England at Denver, where the word contract could naturally come up, and you can get paid plus 210 in that game.
And the same thing basically applies for the second game as well, because you like the yes on the mention of the word contract between Rams and...
Yes. By the way, I can't believe we're breaking this stuff down.
I love it.
This is all fun and new.
Well,
all fun and new to us here. So the yes on the word contract, at least at Kalshi, plus 215. So very similar. Similar context for usage. Davante Adams signed this year to a new contract. Nathan Landman knew this contract this year for the Rams. Last year, contract guys could come up as well. Starting cornerback Kobe Durant could come up. Right tackle Rob Havenstein. Tyler Higbee, last year of his deal. You know, for the Seahawks, Rashid Shaheed, free agent coming up. His contract could come up. And how about this? The starting running back for the Seahawks, Kenneth Walker, in the last year of his deal. The word contract could come up with him as well. So there's a bunch of angles on Rams Seahawks as well that could be natural contract points, plus 215.
Here's one that's going to hit that you love. It's plus 175. In the AFC title game, well, they mentioned schedule. This has been a huge story all year. It's the easiest schedule for a playoff team since 1999, and they beat one team with a winning record. They're going to mention that.
Yes, they're going to mention it. I think the New England schedule is going to come up, and it's playing plus 170. They just played the second easiest schedule of the year out of all of the teams, opponent winning percentage of just 429. You mentioned they only had three games against teams that wound up with a winning record. And then in the playoffs, they caught the wounded Chargers team. They got Houston without Nico Collins. Now they get the Broncos with Jared Stidham. I think schedule will come up in the context of New England. It doesn't have to come up with any context at all. Just anybody says schedule plus 170. That's, to me, that seems like a really nice opportunity.
This is one that you told me about as well, going back to last week. So you can bet on the mention of next gen stats. That's at 8%. So that's a big underdog on Kelce right now. Yeah. That game is also on CBS. What's the breakdown here on which network has these games and whether or not they're going to use the phrase next gen stats?
All right. I believe I've got this correct, but don't necessarily take my word for it. The next gen stats as a property is aligned with NBC and Amazon. And games that are on NBC or Amazon are almost certain to bring up next gen stats, and games that are not on those two are almost certain not to bring that up. The betting market was getting this wrong for a long time. The mentions market, they seemed, looking at what the odds are now, I think they've got it figured out better now.
Yep.
So I don't know that the value is as good now as it was then, but that is, to me, that has been a very leading indicator, has been the phrase next gen stats. If you correlate it with the broadcast networks that have a deal with Next Gen Stats.
That's
awesome.
I can't imagine how many more things are out there like that, that if you people have probably caught
on
a while
back. Can I give you one more?
Yeah, sure.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah. Like a minute?
Okay. Yep. New England at Denver, the phrase no good. We're going to bet the no on this. They're not going to say no good because Will Lutz and Andy Baralagas are unlikely to miss any kicks. Lutz, 39 for 39 on extra points. He only missed four field goals all year. Nobody missed a field goal in this stadium all season. Lutz has got a 94% make rate. The rookie from New England, Andy Baralagas, has got a combined make rate of 92%. I got two kickers that make 94 and 92% of field goals and extra points. They're not likely to miss anything. The no good pays minus 145, but it seems very likely, considering how good these kickers are, that they're going to make their kicks.
Tip of the cap, my man. Follow him on X at Paul Charchian. Thank you as always. Best luck this weekend, and we'll see you in person a week from today.
See you then. Bye-bye, guys.
Great job. Love it. More mentions next week. All the NFC stuff, what we say around the city of Seattle and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa. One lucky winner gets a two-night stay at Circa, VIP cabana, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage, limo transportation, cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now. Kick off the World Soccer Championships at Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. CircaLasVegas.com. Get there now. Incredible package.
Up next, professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the program. He's already in love with the team for next year in college football. Hear why and how he has bet them on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.